Even though some people consider cinema making as a creative outlet, it actually produces culture, produces emotions, feelings of solidarity, anger, and many more. It could have a positive or a negative impact. Since it has such an impact when we talk about our case and cause as Palestinians, how much does this contribute to conveying our voice and our ideas and our narrative and fighting the occupation? With the new youthful, let's say, and new recent directors and filmmakers, where is the future of Palestinian cinema? What is the future of Palestinian cinema? What challenges do filmmakers face? These topics and themes and ideas are going to be discussed right now with my colleague Manar Till and the creative film directors and makers Amin Naifa and Omar Ramal. Manar is interested in cinema and how connected it is to Palestinian reality. Hello, Salsabil. Thank you for the introduction. Before we begin, Manar, I'd like to request that anyone listening to us and watching us in the chat write the names of Palestinian films that left an impact. When talking about Palestinian cinema today, welcome everyone and welcome to this discussion, Palestinian cinema in Palestine, present and future. Palestine new cinema in very early in 1948 and faced many challenges to get and reach an audience. There are many challenges and obstacles since the Zionist lobby affects and controls cinema making. I'm very happy to today have with me two young creative filmmakers who contribute to cinema making and in conveying and getting our narrative and story and history from the history to humanitarian cases. And we have the right to write our narrative and convey our narrative as we see fit and as it is in reality. Welcome, Amin Naifa and Omar Ramal. How are you? All good, all good. So first of all, what's up? What's new with you? And what are you working on these days? I'm currently working on a narrative of storytelling, a story that took me a long while to write, but we are at a good stage and phase to, let's say, share it with others and try to accommodate or accumulate funding for it and budget for it. And hopefully, it's not going to take 6 to 7 years like the first film. Of course, what about you, Omar? What's new with you? All good. I'm currently working on a new movie, a new film. It's a short film. And hopefully it's going to be the final short film, and then we go on to the filmmaking, longer films. I'm done with writing it, and currently we're developing the development stage and phase, and looking for funding and yeah to go the an extra step. Best of luck, Omar. Before we begin our discussion, let's talk about the Palestinian cinema today and where it's going, what the future of Palestinian cinema is. And we're going to watch a trailer for Amin Naif's film, 200 Meters. Okay, so back to Amin and Omar, what's up with the checkpoint theme? Well, you know, we've all been through a lot at checkpoints, and it really left an impact in my childhood and probably the younger generation is not aware how difficult it was to move between the 1948 areas and the West Bank and through checkpoints and so on. When the apartheid wall was built, it separated me from my family. And when I studied filmmaking, the first idea that I started working on it was 200 meters. And I could speak and talk about the incidents and experiences and where the story stems from. For hours. But basically, it's because or due to how much checkpoints affected my childhood and prevented me from being with my family. So the question is to both of you and anyone working in filmmaking and perhaps face this obstacle, the checkpoints and many of what we suffer from as Palestinians, these themes we can see them in Palestinian films. There's over 400 military checkpoints in the West Bank, and we still face the same trouble and issues. You leave a city, you go into another. Suddenly, there's a curfew or there's a lockdown. And how can we present these ideas that have been occurring and recurring over time without people getting bored from this sort of idea? Omar, would you like to take this? Well, honestly, when you asked the say first question about checkpoints, I remember something that when my professor at university, he said, "Come on, Omar, what's up? Oh, it's always the same excuse, checkpoint, checkpoint, checkpoint." And I told them there's no other excuse. That's our reality. And here in Palestine, we are still documenting what's happening abroad. We're documenting for people abroad. And it happens a lot that there's a historical story, let's say, or narrative, and many different stories stem from that. But here in Palestine, since cinema is still young, let's say, and it's in beginnings, and we are in our beginnings, not many films that are known. Whenever you get the opportunity, or someone gets the opportunity to create or make their own film, we have this innate, let's say, sense of the need to document. We're not done with documenting yet. That's the thing. We're not done documenting what's happening in Palestine. That's why we focus on this and on our stories and documenting them and showing the world what's happening in here. But in the future, I imagine, hopefully, that we're going to have the, let's say, opportunity to work on other cases or other themes and ideas. But unfortunately, for now, for me personally, whenever I make a film or whenever I work on something, there's always occupation. We're still under occupation and we have not overcome of the occupation yet. Hopefully, then in the future, we can make or create something that has to do about, for example, a story about life or drama or anything else. But there is this duty that, for example, there is this film that was about a father and a son. And it didn't talk about occupation, and it was interesting. But the occupation idea was in the background, but was not the main theme. But again, so we're still documenting. We cannot yet diversify the ideas and themes of Palestinian filmmaking. Some people definitely probably get bored, and this is where we need to come up with new ideas. That's the idea. We're talking about checkpoints. Yes, checkpoints are still there, and we have the right to keep talking about checkpoints, but perhaps every time in a different idea. You, as filmmakers and directors, how do you think we could talk about a film, for example, about different ideas? As we saw in 200 meters, father is torn and cannot see his kids, and the birthday scene at the end of the film also conveys an idea. What other, let's say, concepts there? Maybe the same concept. What other ways are there to make a film. That's the idea. The story has been mentioned more than once. People know about checkpoints, know about the struggle, know about now how can you escape this sort of boredom. Honestly, when I began thinking of 200 meters, I was freshly graduated, and I was thinking of having a specific genre of a film. The film needs to have been written, but has the, let's say, an element of entertainment. It's entertainment after all, and it's a service provided. People pay money to go and watch these movies. Now, how can I maintain the originality of my idea and my film at the same time attract the audience and give them the necessary elements of entertainment? So when it comes to 200 meters, the very first draft was about a story, a journey that is full of struggles, and I was missing the family aspect, like a human and families and innate emotions. I focused on the entertainment aspect, but with time and development and writing workshops, I realized that this is not going to be enough. Focusing on the drama aspect by itself is not going to be enough for the movie to reach its target audience. Focusing on entertainment by itself as well is not going to be enough. You need balance. You need to see and know exactly what the story allows for. The story needs to tell you that story can tell you and does tell you that you could go this way or that way, for example. That's why I have this mix of drama and the journey itself. And I've seen the reactions of many people who have seen the movie, and and there was this element of suspense when they watched it, based on their reactions. Omar, the short films that you made, it was clear that you are, let's say, a sensitive person and can know exactly where the sore spot is or where the spot to talk about is. Here in Palestine, we don't have enough time to reflect on what's happening, because every day there are events and incidents happening. There are many things to talk about. There are things that we still have not seen a movie about, or a film about, or a documentary about, because there's always something happening. From the moment you begin writing a script till you are done, a bigger incident or event or something is going to have happened. So do you feel like the short films or short movies solve the issue of how quickly paced events or incidents are happening around us? Yes, actually, that idea does cross my mind. And whenever I get such an idea, I think of doing it, not to complicate it much, because any Palestinian in the streets and in the homes and everywhere, when you they definitely have a lot of stories. And sometimes we think, how is this story different from stories that have already been made into films? And that's why, and when we begin thinking of the details and to touch people in a different way. And when I made this film, it was an opportunity that people, for example, are going, when they watch this, they're going to be thinking, what exactly am I watching here? And I felt that people love this sort of contrast. They love the fact that they are surprised by something happening in a film, or something other than what they are used to, of knowing exactly what the story is. And we've been telling the Palestinian story for over 70 years now, and some people don't want to see it anymore. That's why you need to take different courses around the film or around filmmaking, to focus on what needs to be focused on. And it is our duty as directors and filmmakers to convey such ideas. And there is, you know, the Marvel character, the Israeli Marvel character that was created, for example. I'm currently working on something similar, which is, for example, how to come up with an idea that's going to be a response to this, but of course in a pro-Palestinian manner, because I don't want the film to just be welcomed in festivals, but welcomed by people as well. We need to be smart when it comes to conveying such ideas. Of course, today there are many young people who are very much interested in watching this session, listening to this session. They are yearning for how to make such films. How are short films made? How are films made? There are people who studied this, but still have not taken the first step, for example. If we talk about the industry, filmmaking industry in Palestine, what obstacles did you overcome, or what challenges do you think are there? Let's be frank. The obstacles are many. There's the social obstacle, for example, our families. Because when someone, for example, tells their family that I am making films, for example, personally, I used to talk about something virtual, something that's on another planet, something away from a reality. It's something that was not understood. And this was a crisis, actually. I studied nursing for 4 years. At the end, I came across a cinema institute in Jordan. I registered, and once graduated, I delved into the filmmaking scene. But this was 10 years ago. I graduated 10 years ago. It was a long journey, required a lot of patience. Because, as Omar mentioned, we are still young, we're a small industry, because when you think about how many Palestinian films are made a year annually, and how can you make sure that the young graduates have experience and pile up their experience, it's a slow process. So it requires patience, and anyone who would like to be part of the scene will need a lot of patience. And specifically when people want to work on their small projects to come to light. 200 meters, for example, took me 8 years to write from the moment I wrote out for the first draft and till the moment it was projected and presented on streets, on screens. So don't want to beautify or polish this. We're happy while working, but it's a long process. There are times when you are waiting a lot and waiting for funding and waiting for budget. And the filmmaking is cost extensive, actually. And sometimes you get questions from people, how much did this film, for example, cost you? 20,000 shekels, for example? No, we're talking about big numbers, huge numbers. Omar, you work in Jordan, Palestine, and you probably, just like Amin, have different experiences. What do we need locally in the country to have the filmmaking industry to develop it and to go the extra mile with it? What do we need? Honestly, there's something Amin mentioned. This was 10 years ago, right? Yes, if someone wants to get into the film industry these days, it's going to be much easier than before. It is much easier than before. Like, for example, you can watch Amin's film, for example, if you go get into this scene. 10 years ago, you needed to look a lot before you find something to watch. But it's different these days. And I'm sure Amin has the same experience. When you're studying filmmaking, people are going to say there's not much to do with filmmaking scene and so on. But these days, there are advertisements, documentaries, cinema, films. It's still a young and small scene, but it does have its future. If someone has the talent and the passion for something like this, and the connections and the social skills, and telling people I'm doing this and that, and I want to learn, they're going to succeed. That's how I did it. And Amin remembers, I used to say a lot that please teach me and I want to do so and so. You shouldn't be afraid to make mistakes and you shouldn't be afraid to take newer experiences. I know people who are 60 years old and they are geniuses when it comes to filmmaking, but they still have not attempted to create or make their own film. The more you are afraid of trying this experience, the more difficult it will be. But no one's going to blame you. Amin is a veteran when it comes to filmmaking, so he's going to be blamed, unlike me. When you are a freelancer, for example, or you like something or love something, do work on it and do document, do take movies and so on. It's difficult today. Yes, it does require patience, but it's much easier than before. The people have this opportunity and need and intention to watch such films. Of course, you need to always to have the motivation. There are going to be obstacles and challenges, but experience does teach you a lot. My first experience was when I was at university and I made this film. I was required to make this film. I was supposed to make this film. I needed to make it and become a director. But then the university told me that I needed and I was supposed to make this. And it was obligatory. That's why I went through this experience. And again, have patience. You're going to face challenges and obstacles. It has a lot of pressure, but and sometimes you need to wait a year or two. Now look at Amin, for example. He waited 8 years to make his first film. I always say that I need to be faster. I know I need to be faster, but I know the difficulties that you need to go through to accumulate the required funding. We all make mistakes and we need to experiment. Yes, I want to mention that the lack of funding did cause a crisis. And in Palestine, it's different from Jordan, for example. In Jordan, there is a fund for filmmaking. But in Palestine, we don't have such a fund. We have the Ministry of Culture, and they give funds or grants, let's say, but they're not much. Yes, they will take you a few steps, but it's not enough, especially in Palestine, where we need to tell our stories. Because while looking for money and budgets and knocking this door and that, the other side is, for example, are making films and conveying their narrative to the world. First time I went to Berlin Festival, I was freshly graduated, and I went to something called European Film Market, and that is the second biggest market for filmmaking after Cannes Festival. And for every country, or every country had a booth, you go in, you meet new people, look at what they have and what there is, and there was a booth for the occupation, for Israel. And you know, they make films, and I started, and I didn't tell them I was Palestinian, but I started asking them questions. I know exactly what they do, and I've been torn since then, and it didn't feel good. Like, what do we lack? Do we have funding? Do we have the money? There is money, yes. Well, where's the problem exactly? Why in 1948 there was the cinema unit, for example, and people worked on cinema, but these days they don't exist anymore. This is an important question. It's important, Manar, to have our narrative present in cinema. Because cinema is the easiest way of showing the people what's happening. It's easier than poems or stories or novels. It's and people who watch movies really do relate to the characters of the movie or the film. Of course, yes, we're always talking about funding, and everyone's saying funding is the problem. But these days, we are in an era when you want to make a film, for example, have good quality. The more you pay, the more you spend on your film, the better it's going to be. People don't just want a script that is written well. We want a good quality screen time as well. And while preparing for the session, there were some questions for, let's say, older directors, or from older directors who said that in the old days we had the issue that even when we made the cinema, we were not able to get to the necessary platforms because the Zionist lobby was in control in this. But these days, now we have social media. Of course, it's not enough, but it's there. And even in social media, we are seeing a big challenge on how and why and what exists. And many people are losing their platforms or pages and so on because the content is Palestinian. Now, do you see that? Are we at a better place now or not? Or are we facing the same issues all the directors are faced? Honestly, social media is important, crucial, and we keep mentioning the Makan film and movie. It was a collective effort, but there was an event happening, and we wanted to express what we ideas we have regarding this event, this incident. And I didn't expect that this many people will watch this film, but honestly and personally, I just wanted to express what I saw and what I thought and convey that to the people. It's a platform that is there, and we need to be smart in how we use it. Yes, there some content is banned or blocked, some Palestinian content, but there are ways to communicate with Instagram, for example. It happened to me personally. And for example, Al Makan film, they got emails to delete the film. And they received emails that I don't know who sent these emails, but they told me, they said this caused a lot of trouble for us when it got out on Instagram. So when you see this many, how much effect and impact it has, it pushes you forward, actually. And when you look at the journalists and photographers, and directors and filmmakers, yes, it's a difficult process, it's training. But sometimes you can express your reality through some short scenes, simple scenes. I know that there are many, let's say, cinema makers or filmmakers don't like it, but it's the most practical, and everyone is. And since Omar, there's control over it. Whenever you're making something in Palestine, you're never going to see freedom. As long as the story is Palestinian or done in Palestine, you're not going to get funding. You're going to be controlled. So you depend on the people on sharing, and sometimes people unintentionally or unintentionally see the scenes. You could show it to your friends in Egypt, Lebanon, America, United States, and so on. Not necessarily to millions of people. I could make a film where millions watch, and I could make a film where 50,000 people watch, for example. But it's better to have the movie or the film present than having it non-present or non-existent. It doesn't matter if they block the account, if they delete the account, deactivate it, ban it, block it. Doesn't matter as long as your intention is clear, your intention is straightforward, and doing this for Palestine. That doesn't matter much. What's important is to do it, make it, and have it ready and existent. Show it to your friends, family. That's more than enough. We don't check with the other side and see how they convey their ideas and what they are doing. But it's important that we do check. Honestly, I watch everything that is Israeli made. Honestly, I want to know how they think. I want to know what they think of, what stories are they trying to convey. And right now, these days, they're talking about newer generations, the newer generation that is 20 years old, for example. They are talking about social cases that we are not even part of anymore. For example, watching festivals, the movies and films made, you're going to be taken aback. It's like Palestine doesn't exist at all. They're talking about social cases. They are many, many steps ahead of us. They have the support for their platforms, festivals, all festivals support them. But it's much more difficult for us when you have social media that forces people to see something. It's actually a very smart tool that you can use. These days, I'm thinking much more of social media than festivals, for example, because for festivals, I need them to know me, get funds, and so on, so on. But there's no solution. But I need to make something. I need to do it. That's why it's an alternative platform that we can use, and I'm with using it smartly. Amin, if you have anything else to say before we move on to the questions from the audience on these platforms, is it more difficult today or easier today? Honestly, I don't have much to add to what Omar said, considering that he's more active on social media. But so we can move on to the questions. So how do you think that the society could support, financially support, this these films? Have you ever thought of collective fundraising? It is possible, absolutely. I believe some films made it. There was a film by Mu'ayyad Alayyan, which was called Hub Sarka and Love Stealing and Other Things. And he needed a specific amount of money to finish making the movie, and he did a crowdfunding, and it was not much of an amount. You're talking about budget, I think it was $10,000 to $15,000. But so for such amounts, when you talk about crowdfunding, yes, absolutely, it could be up to this. But to be completely dependable on fundraising, or collective fundraising, crowdfunding, that's not going to be practical because we're talking about huge amounts of money. I have one remark. We as filmmakers or directors, we still have not got to or reached the people of Palestine as an audience better. For example, if you mention the names of these films or movies to the people in the streets of Palestine, they wouldn't know them. Now, how do I deal with that when I'm not known yet? And that's why we need to work on this social media-wise, to find a platform that could get your message and idea across, translate your idea. And I always think of this. It's always at the back of my mind to whenever, for example, I don't find the necessary funding, I think of social media platforms, especially when films are completely Palestinian, because sometimes writers or directors want to go to a less, let's say, less direct way, a softer way of talking about the occupation. And I understand that. I understand why they would do that. And that needs to happen because people need to be enthusiastic to watch our movies, to come to the exhibitions, to come to present. And I hope that we work on this. It's crucial that we work on this. It's important that people know us and our films or movies. And the thing is, it's not just about people watching our films. We in Palestine need to watch our Palestinian movies. Like, for example, there's an annual film festival that is done and made every year. But we might need more cinema theaters to present these films. We need more participation, local participation, perhaps local festivals, Palestinian ones, constant ones, continuously. And it's great to have something like that. Well, that's the thing. The Ministry of Culture, for example, the government, they need to work on this. We're talking about art. We're talking about great art. For example, so they can do something annually. And this is a major obstacle. We need support. We need endorsement. We need there are films and I sometimes see films and see presentations of films and they're great. I'm happy to see them, but we do need time. This does take time. People need to know that there are films, Palestinian ones, that they can watch. For example, Egypt has been in the filmmaking industry for over 100 years, but and they are more known, but it requires a lot of awareness raising. Some of what you miss when you're going to other Arab world countries. People, for example, are going very enthusiastic, very happy to watch an Egyptian film, for example. That's what we'd love to see. We're facing a lot of issues and a lot of obstacles and a lot of backlash or resistance, let's say. But the Palestinian filmmakers are some of the most prominent in the filmmaking scene. And we have, let's say, a ripe ground, a fertile ground for filmmaking. When we mention an idea, for example, sometimes it's a simple one. There are more, let's say, better, more important ideas to talk about, and that's crucial that people know these films and know the directors and the actors and the writers, so that when you're working on something, you are very much enthusiastic because people are waiting for something you're going to make. You're creating more questions, more controversy, for example, in some aspects, and this is what I like, honestly, to make people wait for new productions, for example, and how things are made, how behind the scenes are made. Of course, so we do require support. We do require better support in order not to stay in place. The audience has a question about what do you think of, for example, platforms like Netflix and Mo'Amer, it's a TV show, and Romy. What do you think of it? I have not seen Romy. I've seen Mo. There was great, let's say, celebration of this show as a first Palestinian show on Netflix with great and wide distribution. And if you follow Mo'Amer on Instagram, for example, it's clear that it reached higher great places. And this is very, very, it makes us really happy to see someone like him and the way he talks. There was, let's say, courage when he talked about Palestine and talked about the occupation, and it was amazing. I, as a Palestinian, for example, as the audience, I did not feel like this was targeted towards Palestinians, towards myself, for example. That's the thing. How much of an important point is it to for the film to be targeted toward Palestinians or the international community? I was a part of such a similar discussion with a friend, and we got finally to the idea that this was not made for the Palestinians as a target audience, but for a wider audience. I'm with what Amin said and mentioned, but there is something even more important. We, as the Palestinian audience, when we watch something that was made about Palestine, no matter, doesn't matter if it was on music, fashion, anything else, we need to understand that it is very, it's amazing. It's great that there's this person making this for this audience and making that for that audience. It's good to have diversity. It's good to have more than one path. I love the fact that we hear the name Palestine or the in TV shows. I understand, and people need to understand that sometimes we can't be completely direct in our presentation or narrative because you are going to face many issues, many obstacles. They're going to get into so much or too much of a hassle. We need to be smarter in dealing with the situation. And I talk about Palestine in a good way, in a nice, right way, and make use of that. We can't keep saying Palestine, Palestine, Palestine. We need to be smart in how we present Palestine. And that's what I want people to know, and filmmakers to know as well, or whoever produces and creates art to know that, to know. We do need to focus on this, because we, as creators of anything, as creative creators, we need to be accepting of feedback, for example. And I was very much happy when there's a scene, a show that talks about Palestine at the international scene, for example. When part of the critique that we hear or listen to is that, for example, some of my friends were much provoked, for example, and annoyed by the olive oil bottle that was kept being mentioned in the show. But we know, we as Palestinians know, how important sweets like nafe or olive oil from our lands to us, which is, let's say, annoying to some people. It was to some people, but it was very much catchy in the minds of those who were not or did not listen to the olive oil or knafe words a lot. Of course, when Mo, for example, talked about olive oil, it was very much noticeable that he was enthusiastic when it came to that. Of course, there's always discrepancy in viewpoints and perspectives, but the idea is to always be more open, and differences in opinion is always a positive thing. Absolutely. And our message, when we, for example, present something, we do have controversy most of the time, but controversy is crucial and important for all cases, even if complex ones, even if they are complex. It's already 45 minutes. Hi, Sasabil. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Manar, for moderating this session. thank you, Omar. Thank you, Amin. We wish you the best in your upcoming works and in your contributions and developing the Palestinian scene, a filmmaking scene, and hopefully we'll see you receiving international awards. Thank you, thank you. Okay. To whoever is listening to us, we've seen great interaction, especially in this session. Stay with us. Don't go too far. We're going to have a very crucial session. Very important one to a lot of people, whether they are here or in diaspora. So we're going to be talking about diaspora soonest. Stay with us.